Santa Fe High School senior Carla Aguirre laughs easily with her son Harley. But when he was born 3 months early, life wasn't so rosy.
But in the beginning, it was hard since he was a preemie. He was at the hospital for 3 months, so I had to stay there the whole 3 months.
Because he came into the world weighing only 1 pound, Harley developed heart problems and asthma. Carla misses school when he's hospitalized, 3 times already, and he's only 9 months old. The human cost in health problems and stress for the family is high, and so are the financial costs of caring for the babies of teen moms.
And the economic impact in 2004 was $580 million a year. And that includes loss of education, loss of future income, Medicaid.
Sylvia Reese directs the New Mexico Teen Pregnancy Coalition. She says an economic impact study conducted in 2004 by Dr. Philip Ganderton of the University of New Mexico found it's not uncommon for babies born to teens to have special needs.
These babies can be born with developmental issues, needing ancillary services like occupational physical speech therapy, those kinds of things. And so it includes everything that costs.
As a mom living in a low-income household, Carla spends close to $1,000 a month on Harley's special formula and diapers. She smiles with emphasis that she loves her baby, but if she had to do it over again.
I made an error, and I know I don't regret it because I love my baby, but I wish I could have gotten pregnant later in my life.
Compared with their peers who delay childbearing, teen girls who have babies are less likely to finish high school, more likely to rely on public assistance, and more likely to be poor as adults. But Carla is determined to overcome these odds and to earn a diploma, and then, she says, a college degree. The daycare center where Carla leaves little Harley while she takes her individualized online coursework for teen moms is on Santa Fe High School's campus. Since she's close by, she can visit him at lunch and come quickly when he gets sick. Alicia Wolf is the coordinator of the Teen Parent Center, which helps dozens of teen moms with baby supplies each year. She says studies have found that teens enrolled in programs that offer a wide variety of support have healthier babies and higher graduation rates. The center has an annual budget of $237,000, mostly Medicaid funding. Wolf says many critics of the center say their work supporting teen moms encourages sexual activity, but she dismisses that claim.
You know, by the time students get to us, they are pregnant. We want them to be successful. We are not encouraging them to have more children. We're supporting them under their circumstances.
Wolf says teens in these kinds of programs also have fewer repeat pregnancies. For Carla, it was the second, the first time she had a miscarriage. She was 15 then. Statistics from the Centers for Disease Control and New Mexico's Department of Health show almost 1 in 5 births to teen moms ages 15 to 19 across the U.S. are to girls who had given birth before, and that those second infants were often born too small or too soon, leading to health problems. Wolf says part of the center's mission is to help prevent teens from having more babies so early in their lives.
We have lots of conversations about birth control. You know, what are their plans? Obviously, abstinence is the safest way not to have a second pregnancy.
In 2010, the U.S. teen birth rate declined by 9%, putting it at the lowest level since the mid-1940s. But despite the drop, Sylvia Reese with the New Mexico Teen Pregnancy Coalition says more work is needed. She says we need a sharper focus on young men taking more responsibility for preventing pregnancies and sexually transmitted infections, or STIs, some of which are linked to cancer.
I think that we as a society haven't done justice, including young men, in the responsibility of contracepting themselves. They don't need to be depending on the female to do it. They need to do it. Because it's not just pregnancy now. It's also STIs. Adolescent STIs in New Mexico are an issue. And they can be exposed to HIV/AIDS.
Reese says another important success factor is having both parents raising a child together.
We also know that kids do better when there are two adults. No matter what the adults look like, what color they are, what their orientation is, but two adults caring for a child is easier. And the child's going to have more positive outcomes. And so we're barely now understanding the importance of that, of including males in this issue.
For Carla Aguirre, that strategy absolutely hits home. Carla's dad had to raise her and her sister alone after their mother abandoned the family when they were young.
Well, I think every child needs their father and their mom. Even if they're not together, like if they're in bulk, it's really important for them. And it's something that's like I didn't have my mom at all, so I really needed a mom figure at my side. I don't even know my mom. I haven't seen her for 15 years, so it's really, really hard.
Harley's dad, Gustavo Aldana, holds his son close. The 22-year-old says he definitely plans to be there to help Carla raise their baby and have more, but only after Harley gets older. Harley's birth was a blessing, Gustavo says, pushing back a shock of red hair. He says he and Carla are grateful for the help they've received from many people as they set out on this journey of parental responsibility. For KUNM, I'm Deborah Martinez.